Please note, we are unable to play the songs referenced in this episode due to the legal stuff on this platform. For the full immersive experience, listen to DYUHWW on Mixcloud.com or play the songs on your favorite music streaming platform.
Do you understand how words work?
Do you understand how words work?
Do you understand how words work? Do you understand how words work?
Do you understand how words work?
Do you understand how words work?
Do you understand how words work? Do you understand how words work?
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today
with Ms. Nina Davis.
Welcome back to our third and final segment for this installment of Do You Understand How Words Work with Ms. Nina Davis. Now, those lyrics from Bizzle's Note to Self make you stop and think. He said,
"It's like you killing it, and everybody sees it but you. You just check for the flaws. You've been receiving the boos, but you reject the applause. It's like the negative is easier for you to receive, and the positive is much harder for you to believe. Man."
We have got to cut ourselves a little more grace out here. Now that we have an even better understanding of the context and history of Love Your Neighbor as Yourself, let's skip to the advanced level and explore the deeper spiritual and thus eternal application of one of the most important social behaviors of all times by examining what the Bible says on the matter. Starting with 1 John 4, verses 20 and 21, the Message translation.
"If anyone boasts, I love God, and goes right on hating his brother or sister, thinking nothing of it, he is a liar. If he won't love the person he can see, how can he love the God he can't see? The command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to do both."
1 John 4, 20 and 21. This verse is for those of us seeking a maturing spiritual relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. So don't be a liar, okay? It is impossible to be in a right relationship with the Father if we carry hate or animosity towards others, any others, in our hearts and minds. How would that even work? We are able to have an intimate relationship with God because He first showed love to us. Love is the price of entry. God is love. We must love all other human beings if we say we love God. How we treat others is how we treat God. Period. Yep. With a T. Study Matthew chapter 25, verse 40 to verify this for yourself. Next, from God's holy word, is from Galatians, written by Paul the Apostle to Jewish Christ followers in a region that is considered Turkey today. This was probably about 55 years after Jesus was crucified. He tells them the following to correct some misconceptions.
"For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence. Love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. If you bite and ravage each other, watch out. In no time at all, you will be annihilating each other. And where will your precious freedom be then?"
That was Galatians 5, verses 14 through 15. So if we are always hating on each other and dissing each other, how can we be reflections of light? Loving all others is true freedom because we don't have to worry about why we don't like this one or that one. We have the freedom to focus on people for who they are, not who we want them to be. Otherwise, we're all tight and irritable because we're trying to control how people live and what they have that we don't think they should have. Hello. Are y'all listening? Next, and the final verse that we'll cover is Matthew 5, verses 43 through 47. Jesus says,
"You're familiar with the old written law. Love your friend and its unwritten companion. Hate your enemy." I'm challenging that. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the supple moves of prayer, for then you are working out of your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. He gives His best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone, regardless, the good and the bad, the nice and the nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that.
Okay, this verse really takes it to the next level. Jesus is like, anybody can love their friends, but a boss loves their enemies too. This clearly requires the assistance of the supernatural Holy Spirit. Let me tell you about the Holy Ghost. While we all ruminate on those passages of scripture, let's listen to Try Jah Love by Third World. Jah, short for Yah or Yahweh, offers a lot to those who try, trust, and believe in His love. He also requires a lot of those that say they love Him. However, and we can see from the lyrics in this song, it's all worth it. Do you understand how words work?
Spread love. It's eternal. And so are you.
Please visit our website at www.dyuhww.org. Joining us for the discussion to expound on these verses is Minister Bernadette Waddell, Assimilation Minister at Springfield Baptist Church in Conyers, Georgia. Welcome to the show, Minister Waddell. Thank you for taking the time to discuss the all-important command of love your neighbor as yourself. I know this is a subject that is top of mind for you every day. Please share your thoughts as they relate to the spiritual context and application of love your neighbor as yourself.
Sure. Loving your neighbor is not just a nice idea. It's the core evidence that we truly love God. It's not about preference. It's about obedience. And so in the scripture, 1 John 4:20, that's the litmus test of love. It says, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. The key point here, you can say, you can't claim vertical love to God and fail at horizontal love to your brother. It would discredit your whole testimony. You can apply that by love for God is validated by how we treat the people who get on our nerves, betray us, or just exist differently than we do. I challenge, for that spiritual litmus test, my challenge is you have to do a love audit. Am I showing the kind of love God has shown me, or is it just a convenience kindness? Then you look at Galatians 5:14-15. The law in one line, it says, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. The point here is that love isn't just a fruit of the Spirit. It's the full flavor of God's commands. In verse 15 of Galatians 5, he says, Look, if you bite and devour one another, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. We need to understand that loving our neighbor is a reflection of how well we love ourselves. Loving your neighbor, if you want to apply this to a practical application, loving your neighbor is protective. When we fail to love, we open doors to division, gossip, bitterness, and spiritual decay. The challenge here is, are my words and action building people up, or is it chewing them up?
We got to stop on that one. Is it building people up or chewing people up?
Yep.
That is really powerful, because I think in everyday life, we forget how powerful words are and that they can speak life or death, you know? So that's really, I like that.
Yep. And you have to always be mindful of that, because what you are saying is a reflection of what's in your heart. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks, right? That's King James. But what's in there is what's going to come out of there. And so how well you love on you is reflected on how well you speak to others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And then Matthew 5, 43 and 47, that's hard love, right? It says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, listen, I'm not pretending that that's easy. That's not really easy. But Father is not asking you to do it of yourself. The point here is that Jesus raises the bar, right? Love isn't just for your circle. It's for your critics, your enemies, and the ones who don't clap when you win.
Mm-hmm.
That's who it's for. Listen, yeah. And the real talk of it is, loving people who are hard to love doesn't make you weak. It makes you holy.
That's right. That's right.
Right? It makes you holy. And so the application here is that it's not natural love. It's supernatural.
Mm.
It requires the help of the Holy Spirit. If you could do it in your own, you wouldn't need the Father. And so the challenge here is, who in my life is the enemy God is calling me to pray for? And not in a strike them, Lord, kind of way, but just, God, who is it that I have to pray for so I don't cuss them or curse them? Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that.
Mm-hmm. So I don't cuss them or curse them. So, you know, loving your neighbor sounds simple, but it's often the hardest command to live out. Love is an action. It's not a sentiment. It's not about your emotion. Love reflects God's heart, and it reveals our spiritual maturity. The love we extend is a mirror of the grace we received. Amen? In a nutshell, that's what I get out of loving your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's a spiritual development that requires assistance from the supernatural. You cannot do it just on your own.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn how to crucify your ego. You can't love someone who hurt you without surrendering your right to revenge or being right or being vindicated. You have to have a renewed mind, Romans 12 and 2. You have to reframe people through the lens of God's grace, not just your pain. Because if you do that, they will always be an enemy. They will always be somebody hurt. You have to reframe them through God's grace. The grace that God extends to us, we have to learn how to be able to extend that to others. And you haven't loved like Christ until you love even when it's undeserved.
That's right.
Right? And so you have to have a healed heart. You have to have a healed heart to love your neighbor as yourself. Unforgiveness is always going to be a barrier. And so healing comes through honest emotions processed with God, not just time. You know, they said time heals all wounds. That doesn't necessarily apply. It may take some time, but you have to process it with God. The Holy Spirit has to be your assistant. Amen. Because there's people that 80 years old holding on to something from when they was 20.
Yep. Or younger. So let me ask you this, kind of on that line, then, would you say, because for me personally, I thought I understood love until I understood how God loves me. So I had to first have that knowledge to then apply it to other people and even myself. So would you say that in order to really extend love your neighbor as yourself, even to your enemies, do you need to understand how God loves us to be able to get
Absolutely,
that?
right? He said, right, because remember in the word, he says, first you got to love him, right? He said, love me with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Remember, he says that to us. And so you do have to have a relationship with Christ, right? You got to understand and be able to receive that no matter what you did and no matter who you are, he loves us because God is love, right? He's love. And so, and he says, listen, he says that the way they will know us is how we love.
That's right.
And so, right? And see, people think that's just extended to those that are believers. But no, people who don't believe watch how you love too. That's why people don't come to your church. Because they're watching how you love. People that are not of the faith, those that we say are sinners or outside of it, they're looking and they're watching and they're watching to see how you love. And you can only do that when you have a deep understanding that we really don't deserve this, but it's because of his brand new mercies that come every day. That's love. Mercy is love.
Yep.
That love every day that wipes things clean for us is extended to us. It should humble you enough to say, you know what? That person deserves not just a second chance, because he's not just a God of a second chance. We've heard songs sung about that, right? But he's a God of another chance and another one and another one and another one.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he extends that to us, why wouldn't you extend that out to others, right? And so you have to have a healed heart, and you have to understand this kind of love is not human.
Right.
Yeah, it's not. It's not human. It's divine. Romans 5:5 says God's love is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So you can't extend the kind of love. And your neighbor is everybody. It's not just, it's not just who lives next door.
One of the questions is, who do you consider your neighbor? And I was surprised that some people didn't consider every other human being on this planet their neighbor.
Nope, my neighbor is just who's in proximity of me.
Yeah.
And so that way, I don't feel obligated or responsible to have to love people who don't look like me or who don't think like me, right?
That's right. That's
like
right.
Me. I can shut it off, but that's not what God does. And so everybody is your neighbor. Everybody is your neighbor. So you asked about an example of loving an enemy. I mean, just keep it real. It's hard to love your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
listen, I think it's even harder to love the familiar one, a family member. I think it's harder to do that when it's a church member, a family member, or a friend who betrayed you.
Well,
it's easy.
Frenemies are worse than, you know, stranger enemies, you know, because frenemies
exactly.
know exactly which buttons to push and, you know, they know more about us. So when we're betrayed by them, it cuts a little deeper. I agree.
Yeah. And so I thought about what you were talking about. And an example was there was a young woman in ministry who had a close friend speak ill of her behind her back. She slandered her character, caused division. But rather than retaliate or expose her, the woman chose silence, and she prayed for her accuser and even recommended her for a job later on. Why? Because the Holy Spirit reminded her, I covered your sins, your mistakes, your mishaps. Now you have to cover hers. And so the outcome wasn't instant reconciliation, but it was instant freedom.
Right.
The woman walked in peace, while the accuser eventually came back years later and repented. But that's kingdom love. It's obedience, and it's not always emotional. See, this kind of love is not based on your emotions. It's not the googly eyes and the stars shooting through the sky and, oh, my stomach is in butterflies.
Right.
It's not that kind of love. This love is a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You're choosing to be obedient. It doesn't always feel good, but it always works out for your good.
Right, exactly.
there's some practices that you can develop to develop this kind of love. You got to be honest and not pretty. You know, you have to be honest. You have to pray for your enemies, not about them. Pray for them, but not about them. You have to ask God to bless them, not just change them. And when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, he modeled intercession over indignation. He modeled that. The other thing you can do is you meditate. You have to sit with the word. You have to meditate on scriptures like Matthew 5, 40 and 44, Romans 12 and 14, Luke 6, 27 through 36. What does this require of us? You know, what does it require of me emotionally, mentally, and spiritually? I think one of the best practices that you can practice is to read slowly. I mean, they call that the lecto divina. Read slowly, listen for a word or phrase that hits your heart, and then pray, and then sit with that. And we jump out of meditation too fast, but learning how to meditate, sit with the word. Read it slowly, see what jumps out at you, then meditate on that word and then sit with it and see what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about that. And then study. You got to study to understand God's love blueprint. You have to dive into how we have an advocate, the Holy Spirit, but we have a brother, Jesus, who demonstrated love, right? He demonstrated love. He loved Judas. He loved Peter. And he even loved them Roman soldiers.
God also loved Lucifer. That's one Absolutely. That I think about all the time. If God can love Lucifer.
Come on. Right?
The least exactly. we can do. So, right, right.
Listen, and the truth of the matter is you're so very right about that, right? Because he could have just destroyed him. He didn't. He just banished him. And he didn't destroy him. Mm-hmm. And so he knew that Judas was going to betray him. He knew that Peter was going to deny him. And he still had dinner with them and washed their feet.
Mm-hmm.
And so he did that because, wow, how did he do that? Because he stayed connected to his Father. He was always praying. Jesus was always praying. He was always going off by himself and spending time with God. He'd do a miracle, then he'd go spend time with the Lord. And so even if you looked at 1 Corinthians 13, which everybody quotes at weddings. But if you insert your name in there when you are studying, Bernadette is patient. Bernadette keeps no records of wrong.
Mm-hmm.
If you insert yourself in there and start meditating and study it on that, it starts to make it personal to you. And it does a work in you. Not condemnation, but it may convict. And God said that he chastens whom he loves. And so if it convicts us, it's because that's the area that he wants us to work on because he loves us so much. He wants you to operate in the love that someone can see demonstrated, the love of Christ demonstrated through you. This is the thing that really stands out to me about this whole love thing, and is your love bank depleted? And people talk about it, lots of books about it, you know, on marriage and all of this. But loving your neighbor, which includes your enemies, is not weakness, it's warfare. Every act of love disarms the enemy's plan to harden our hearts. Every act of love disarms the enemy's plan to harden our hearts. Because once you have accepted Christ as your Savior, your salvation can't be lost, but the enemy's job is to make you live defeated and not live that abundant life. And if he can get your heart hardened, then you're not living the abundant life that God intended for us to live. So out of all that I just said, that's the key thing that I boil it down to. The final thought is that it's not weakness, it's warfare. I'm an intercessor, yeah. And so that's what I believe. We're in warfare, and so you have to pray to reach this kind of maturity to be able to continue to grow. That's what sanctification is, or, you know, spiritual formation. And so loving your enemy is not an easy thing to do. I mean, you know, loving your neighbor, whether they're your enemy or not, it's not an easy thing to do, but if you recognize how God loves you, like you said earlier, and how he keeps forgiving us. And it says love covers a multitude of sins, and he does that for us. it becomes easier for you to start seeing others through that lens when you can look through the lens that God is looking at you. Amen?
Amen. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Minister Wydell selected The Jesus in Me Loves the Jesus in You as her song of choice that illustrates loving our neighbors. Unfortunately, we were unable to find a recording of The Jesus in Me Loves the Jesus in You hymn for the episode. However, you can check out several versions of it on YouTube. The lyrics are, The Jesus in Me Loves the Jesus in You. The Jesus in Me Loves the Jesus in You. So easy, so easy, so easy to love. In place of that song, please listen to Jesus in Me by the Soul Stirrers. It conveys a very similar message. Life is a journey. Earth is just one destination. Do you understand how words work? Man, we have heard some powerful songs today, and we're not quite done. Don't forget to check out the full playlist. The link is on our website at www.dyuhww.org. In this episode, we have defined the phrase, love your neighbor as yourself. We have looked at the history and origins of the practice. Plus, we heard from two incredible guests that added even more context and perspective to our topic. We shared and analyzed poll data from some of you, and we thought about ways to show our love to our neighbors IRL in real life. Thank you, Pastor Darren Monroe and Minister Bernadette Wydell, for your time and invaluable insight for Love Your Neighbor as Yourself. We look forward to the next time you join us on Do You Understand How Words Work? We have one more song to further iterate. It all comes down to love. Please enjoy Love God, Love People by Danny Gokey. Do you understand how words work?
Historical context, because history is the story of all of us.
Musical context, because songs can have a powerful impact on our thoughts, decisions, and behaviors.
Spiritual context, because maturing spiritually prepares us for eternity and pleases our triune God. Thank you all for your undivided attention and engagement as we explored the deeper context around Love Your Neighbor as Yourself. You all are the best, and may God's word keep you curious. Until next time, practice love, give grace, and stay funky. Shalom.
You know, God made me funky.
For God so loved the world that he gave them
Ms. Nina Davis, so she could ask,
Do you understand how words work? Please visit our website at www.dyuhww.org. Do you understand how words work?